CBS Eye on the World, the Scholar Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scholar.com, a global technology firm doing business on all the major continents, transforming retail with digital signage. Right now, we go to China. Chris has guided us through the Chinese decline over the last 2 years, certainly since the end of the extreme pandemic reaction by the Chinese Communist Party, the total lockdown, the fear that was spread throughout the land. The explanation for the decline of the Chinese economy has always pointed to the severe COVID restrictions as being intimidating to the consumer. However, the panic is now obvious at the leading circles. So I come to a summary of what's going on just in these last hours to rescue an economy that continues to decline. Premier Li Qiang ordered forceful, that's a quote, actions to stabilize the market. A government rescue package under consideration backed by about $280 billion, more stimulus. This is Bloomberg reporting. China's central bank Wednesday unveiled, quote, a surprise reduction in the amount of cash banks must hold in reserve. In other words, what was a burden on the banks on unsecured loans or loans that are not being repaid now makes the banks at risk for failure. I note that on Bloomberg TV in these last hours, advisors are coming on to say we've guided our clients to leave China or pull their cash out of China or not go back into China. Chris, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. You anticipated all this on the basis of your observations of manufacturing south of Shanghai, manufacturing in the important corridors of China. However, it would appear right now that the manufacturing is the least of the problem. There's a complete collapse of trust, of confidence by the Chinese consumer. Is this something that can be turned around to your knowledge? Because we have bottoms like this. We have cycles like this. Is China on a recognizable cycle, even if they're denying it in Beijing? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It's a recognizable cycle for those of us in the West, but you have to remember for the last 20 years, plus or minus, China has not known a recession or a correction. China is being hit with the double whammy of manufacturing orders globally being slow with the global recession and the property crisis, where trillions and trillions of dollars of value have been wiped out of their property sector. That's now a contagion that's spreading into the banks and spreading into the stock market. Unfortunately, even with the bailouts proposed, Mr. Xi asked Mr. Biden in San Francisco for roughly a $2 trillion bailout to be funded by the U.S. Don't think that's going to happen. But the Chinese need a tremendous amount of capital to fix this problem, and there is no apparent source of that money coming forward, so it's very problematic.
The matter of the Chinese recovery requires their model to return. We export and we gather in the money and don't import, or we import raw materials, natural resources only. Have they changed that model in any fashion? Is there something they're doing to get the consumer involved in their economy? Because that's our genius. We're all consumer driven.
So, John, Mr. Xi certainly has tried to pivot the Chinese economy to more of a consumptive economy, to have more autonomy there from global markets. But unfortunately for him, Chinese tend to be profligate savers and not spenders, certainly not in the Western sense of spending. So they've never really fully taken on that consumerism, taken on credit cards, taken on debt the way that you'd see in the West. So that's been a challenge for that economy to try to change. The other greater part is you cannot have successful Chinese manufacturing with the global consumer under pressure, as well as China is now no longer the best place to do business on the planet. You have increasing labor rates that have happened as China's economy has matured. Places like India and Vietnam are seeing reshoring post-pandemic as companies like Apple need to have supply chain diversity. So there's a whole series of factors. It's not just one thing, but a myriad of problems.
In conversation with Steve Yates, who's long traveled to Taiwan, first for the Bush administration and now for his institute, he told me that there is a conversation starting in Taiwan by the business community that's heavily involved in investing in the mainland and responsible for a lot of the miracle of these last decades. The Taiwanese courts and the Taiwanese investor class on the mainland. He told me that the conversation is starting now to reshore some of the workforce to Vietnam and India were mentioned in particular. Have you heard this, Chris?
Absolutely. With the pandemic and some of the restrictions that the Chinese government put on during the pandemic, as well as some of the new restrictions that have come post-pandemic about data privacy, data control, other challenges, you continue to see U.S. and Western manufacturers saying, hey, we need to give Vietnam another look. We need to give India another look. And you're seeing businesses actively investing there where the amount of foreign direct investment in China continues to plummet.
Also reminding me, I've heard most recently that the Chinese recognizing, the Chinese manufacturing class recognizing that the foreign investors are not coming back or no longer trust them. They're moving to take control, at least operating control, of Mexican manufacturing so that when they can take advantage of the trade relationship between North America, between the U.S. and Mexico, and not be identified as Chinese. Have you heard anything like that, that they're controlling some aspects of North Mexico's manufacturing?
Yeah, very much so. It is evident there's increasing Chinese investment in northern Mexico and some of the maquiladoras that are there to diversify that supply chain for U.S. customers. The challenge is those plants don't necessarily solve the problem of unemployment in China, which continues to increase. So it's a smart business move, without a doubt, but it doesn't solve the fundamental problems in China.
Let's come home to America. We're recovering, but there's some cities that are recovering slower than others. Oakland, they lost their baseball team, but now there's big headlines out of California about the closing of an In-N-Out, which I understand is a burger chain that's very popular in California. They close it because of violent crime. Apparently, the parking lot is just plundered every time people come inside to dine. Are you familiar with this In-N-Out? We have about a minute or so.
Extremely familiar. In-N-Out is an absolute cult food with a tremendous following. And many people would risk gunfire or death to get a really good double-double and animal fries. That being said, the area in Oakland, right near the Oakland airport, is identified as one of the highest crime zones in America. And it's extremely troubling. And now you're seeing that effect of bad governance turning into lack of policing and violence that's closing super successful businesses like In-N-Out, unfortunately, to the consumers.
And in your travels, is this a one-off so far, In-N-Out having to back out, or is this a trend?
Very unique for In-N-Out, but you've seen companies like Walmart leave south side of Chicago due to theft, due to risk to associates. You will see more of that this year. If a customer can't be safe, if the store associates or restaurant crew can't be safe, you have an obligation to not put customers or associates at risk.
And do I say correctly, it's not robbery inside the establishment, it's break-ins to the cars in the parking lot. That's what they're worried about. Is that correct?
That's correct. Car theft, muggings, other things, bad things happening in the parking lots.
Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is the Scala Report. I'm John Bush.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,